I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, I have two exciting guests. One will speak on antioxidants and cancer, and the other, a professional chiropractor, will talk about his experience with treating cancer naturally. My first guest, Dr. Kedar N. Prasad, author of Fighting Cancer with Vitamins and Antioxidants, obtained a master's degree in zoology from the University of Bihar in India and a PhD degree in radiation biology from the University of Iowa, Iowa City. He then went to Brookhaven National Laboratories for postdoctoral training. Dr. Prasad joined the Department of Radiology at the University of Colorado Health Science Center, where he became professor in 1980. Later, he was appointed as director for the Center for Vitamins and Cancer Research. He has published over 200 papers in peer-reviewed journals, including Nature, Science, and Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. He has written several book chapters and abstracts, as well as authored or edited 18 books on radiobiology, radiation protection, and nutrition in cancer. He is a member of several professional organizations and serves as an ad hoc member of various study sections of the National Institute of Health. He is frequently invited speaker at national and international meetings on nutrition and cancer. In 1982, he was invited by the Nobel Prize Committee to nominate a candidate for the Nobel Prize in Medicine. He was selected to deliver the 1999 Harold Harper Lecture at the meeting of the American College of Advancement of Medicine. He is a former president of the International Society for Nutrition and Cancer. Dr. Prasad has consistently obtained NIH grants for his research. His current interests are in the area of radiation protection, nutrition and cancer, and nutrition and neurobiological diseases, particularly Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. Since 2005, he is Chief Scientific Officer of Premier Micronutrient Corporation. More information is available at www.mypmcinside.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Prasad, and I look forward to hearing about antioxidants and cancer. Now, first, why do clinical studies with antioxidants in heavy smokers show an increase in the incidence of lung cancer?
Yeah, that has been one publication that has aroused a lot of concern regarding the use of antioxidants. And here is the problem with that study. The study was performed with a single antioxidant, namely synthetic beta-carotene.
Mm-hmm.
It is well established that individual antioxidant, whether it is a vitamin E or beta-carotene, when it combines with the free radicals, it becomes itself a free radical or act as a prooxidant rather than antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
And so heavier smoker, it is well known that in their blood level of free radicals are extremely high because of their smoke generates a lot of free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
So when the beta-carotene you are administered orally gets into the bloodstream, it becomes gradually oxidized or combined with the free radicals, and then beta-carotene, instead of acting as an antioxidant, will act as a prooxidant or like free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, theoretically, you could have predicted that it will increase the cancer risk because of that kind of reaction, and indeed, that's what the result was found.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a most recent study, they found that when they use a multiple antioxidant, And in this case, they used only dietary type of antioxidant like vitamin A, C, E, and selenium, and some B vitamins and so on, but no endogenous antioxidant like alpha-lipoic acid, coenzyme Q10, glutathione-elevating agents, and things like that. So they just used the dietary types of antioxidant. And this paper was just published in JAMA showing that the multiple dietary antioxidant decreases the cancer risk by 10% in a normal population, which was very exciting because this is the first time they said that vitamin, multiple vitamin will reduce the risk of cancer by 10%. Had they added endogenous antioxidant, like we always recommended, then the result would have been much more dramatic than 10%. So even with the dietary antioxidant, because if you use a multiple antioxidant, then that reaction does not happen because other antioxidants prevent the oxidation of one antioxidant. So that has been our philosophy for a long time, that for prevention, you must use a multiple antioxidant, both dietary type of antioxidant as well as endogenous antioxidant.
Great.
So in my book, I have emphasized this point, and, you know, we have given in great detail.
Then how should cancer patients use antioxidants either during or after radiation and chemotherapy?
Yeah, this is a very important question, and people often use the data that they have obtained in a vitro system where if you use a single antioxidant at low dose, then first take it during therapy. Now, I like to divide into three parts, before therapy, during therapy, and after therapy. Of course, before therapy, we just discussed, is a prevention issue. But there, we have to use a preventive dose when we use for preventing the disease. So there are two doses of antioxidant. One, we call it a preventive dose, which is a lower dose, but higher than RDA. And then is a therapeutic dose of antioxidant, which is much, much higher, but non-toxic dose of antioxidant. So during therapy, this is very important distinction one should remember, that during therapy, we should use a therapeutic doses of only dietary antioxidant, not the endogenous, because endogenous antioxidant will protect both normal tissue and cancer tissue, whereas dietary type of antioxidant at high doses actually will enhance the effect of radiation or chemotherapy on cancer cells, but not on the normal cell. And we have published this kind of information in the past. So it is very important to remember that you don't use an endogenous antioxidant during cancer therapy. You use only dietary type of antioxidant and also the therapeutic doses. This is where they confuse clinicians. That they try to use the preventive doses of antioxidant and apply that the therapeutic dose of antioxidant will produce the same effect as the preventive doses. Distinction is very important for cancer therapy. Now, after cancer therapy, people develop a, what they call it, a you know, the some kind of a transient cognitive dysfunctions, immune dysfunctions, and a whole bunch of tiredness, whole bunch of other side effects after therapy. But to reduce, in some cases, they develop also a peripheral neuropathy, like numbness of nervous system. And so in order to avoid that, in that scenario, we have to use a preventive doses of both dietary antioxidant as well as the endogenous antioxidant. You see the distinction during therapy and after therapy.
Right.
Therapy, we use only dietary antioxidant, and we use a therapeutic dose. But after therapy, we use a preventive doses. And the distinction between preventive and therapeutic doses I have discussed in my book. And so this is very important to remember, that what kind of antioxidant we should use. And by using say, after therapy, if we use a both dietary antioxidant as well as endogenous antioxidant and B vitamins and so on, that will reduce the potential long-term side effects of therapy, and as well as the short-term effect of therapy. And so this is very important because, as you know, one of the long-term effect of therapy is the development of new cancer, mm-hmm. or the reoccurrence of the old cancer, and also some of those non-neoplastic changes like necrosis of the brain, if the brain area has been involved, mm-hmm. or necrosis of the organ, which are not dividing, they get, and that kind of necrosis or lesions or ulcer type of lesion is difficult to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So so those kind of long-term side effects can be prevented if we use a right kind of antioxidant.
Mm-hmm. Can you differentiate for the listeners the difference between the endogenous and the dietary?
No, the dietary antioxidant we refer to like vitamin A, C, E, selenium, mm-hmm. vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
These are the most important mm-hmm. in endogenous antioxidant. And I mean dietary antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
And endogenous antioxidant we refer to is a alpha-lipoic acid, coenzyme Q10, and glutathione elevating agent like N-acetylcysteine, because we cannot consume orally glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
They get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And glutathione is an endogenous antioxidant and is one of the most powerful antioxidants within the cell. But problem is that you can't use orally, and therefore if you use a N-acetylcysteine, or NAC they call it, then it can be absorbed, and then acetyl system is removed, and cysteine is used in the cell to make glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
So the endogenous antioxidants.
Mm-hmm. Can antioxidants help individuals with a family history of cancer to prevent cancer?
Yeah, this is very interesting and new information that we have collected for the first time. And generally, if a person have a genetic marker, like in case of female, if you have a breast cancer gene,
mm-hmm.
and that your daughter, one of the daughter, have inherited it, you know, then they don't do anything. There is no preventive strategy. They just wait for the disease to occur or remove. For example, in this case, many cases. Remove the breast or ovary or uterus, this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have found, and this study was done in collaboration with Dr. Bhattacharya of the NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And NASA is also located here in Moffitt, California. And she has this experimental model of fruit fly. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit fly, she inserted a leukemia gene in the fruit fly. And fruit fly now develops leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a genetic basis of disease. This is a gene, leukemia gene, put in the fruit fly, and fruit fly becomes susceptible to leukemia type of gene.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and talked to her, and we collaborated it, and we provided a multiple antioxidant formulation to her. And when she gives a proton type of radiation, and this type of radiation, as you know, you can get in a cosmic ray, you know, when you are in a lunar surface. That's why NASA is interested in proton mm-hmm. radiation rather than X-ray, because this is the kind of radiation you get in a lunar surface.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gave radiation to the fruit fly in which the leukemia gene was inserted, almost all fruit fly developed cancer, as you expect.
Mm-hmm.
However, when she fed the fruit fly our antioxidant preparation before radiation and continued to give after radiation for another 7 days,
mm-hmm.
and it was dramatically almost no cancer occurred in that population.
Oh, great.
And so this is the first time to show that a genetic basis of the disease, whether it is a cancer or could be Alzheimer's, could be Parkinson's, it could be any kind of disease, Huntington's disease, you name it, which have a genetic basis, by using a right kind of micronutrient or antioxidant, it can be delayed or prevented. We don't know. It is difficult to, I want to emphasize, we cannot extrapolate the data from fruit fly to human at this time.
Mm-hmm.
However, on a genetic basis, really, fruit fly or bacteria or human are very similar in this form.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, most of the genetic knowledge that we have today is based on the fruit fly genetics in humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a very nice experimental model. So to my knowledge, this is the first evidence. And so my thinking is, and I have mentioned in the book, that we cannot, although we cannot extrapolate, mm-hmm. but this is a good possibility that micronutrient, which will not hurt you, it will help you at all. It is possibility exists that the genetic basis of disease can be delayed or can be prevented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Then do antioxidants affect the normal cells and cancer cells in a similar way?
Yeah, this is another misconception that creates a problem among with the clinicians or people who are not aware of the recent advances in antioxidant research. They think that antioxidant at any doses can affect both cancer cell and normal cell in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. And when I was in Colorado, we have demonstrated in experiments, and since then many people have found it even in the animal model, that if you have a low dose of antioxidant, then actually low dose of antioxidant can increase the growth of cancer cells, the rate of growth of cancer cells. And we have demonstrated this in experimental laboratory experiments, that if you give a low dose of either vitamin E or C as a single agent, they can stimulate the growth of cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the same dose, if the same antioxidant given at a therapeutic dose, then it will kill cancer cells, but it will not do anything to normal.
Mm-hmm.
This selectivity of high dose, therapeutic doses of antioxidant or high doses of antioxidant has not been appreciated by many physicians many clinicians who are opposed to giving a antioxidant to the cancer patient during therapy. This distinction that the normal cell and cancer cell respond totally differently to high dose of antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
And once they realize this particular fact, then they will not have the same resistance. Not only that they respond differently as a cancer cell or normal cell, but they also respond differently to therapy, radiation therapy or chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
You can enhance the effect of radiation and chemotherapy on cancer cells by high dose antioxidant, but not on the normal cell. If anything, normal cell gets protected.
Mm-hmm.
And this again, this we have demonstrated in the laboratory experiment when I was in Colorado, and since then other people have demonstrated as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do antioxidants produce effects in the body other than destroying the free radicals?
Yeah, this is another thing that has come out in a recent research on the antioxidant, that most of the time we believe that antioxidant, or many people, even professionals, believe, clinicians believe, that antioxidant has no other function other than destroying free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying free radicals is one of the very important functions of the antioxidant. But antioxidant affects many other functions of the cells. For example, antioxidant can regulate the gene expression, which are important for cancer cells to grow or not grow. And in this case, the antioxidant can affect the gene expression, certain gene expression, in a way that will cause inhibition of the growth of the cancer cell or the death of the cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not just only a direct action, like, you know, mm-hmm. you destroy the protein or DNA, but it also affects the gene expression in a way which will inhibit the growth of the cancer cell, but not the normal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. They also affect the communication, how the two cells communicate with each other. And that has nothing to do with this classical effects on antioxidants. So in the recent years, there are many function which has been identified that is not related to the antioxidant effects of the vitamin, like vitamin C or D. And so it is very important to remember when we say, and that's the reason why it is important to combine multiple vitamins together rather than individual antioxidants. Because these antioxidants not only have a common action, like destroying free radicals, but they also in part work in a different way. So the combination of multiple vitamins have a almost like synergistic effect. And I will give you one example. For example, beta-carotene will induce in a cancer cell, beta-carotene will make like a normal cell. The cancer cell becomes a normal cell. And they have one protein and call it gap junction protein that holds two normal cells together. So when that protein gets defective, then cell becomes cancer. So what beta-carotene does, they increase the production of this gap junction protein, and therefore now the normal cell communicate to each other and cancer cell becomes like a normal cell. It cannot become a totally normal cell. It can become a normal cell. On the other hand, vitamin A, for example, and they can do the same function. So vitamin A has some other function in the body. So here is one good example that beta-carotene can produce certain function, but vitamin A cannot. But in most of the commercial preparation of vitamin, you will see they will have either vitamin A alone or beta-carotene as a vitamin A. This concept is wrong. You have to have both beta-carotene and vitamin A because they work in part by different mechanism of action in the cell. And so and in the same way, for example, vitamin E succinate. You know, we think that all vitamin E are same. This is not true. Vitamin E succinate is the most effective form of vitamin E, and I was the first one to demonstrate this long, long time ago. And since then, many people have confirmed this, that vitamin E succinate is most effective form of vitamin E. We have to also remember that vitamin E, which is alpha-tocopherol, is also important because it can act as a free radical scavenger immediately. But vitamin E succinate takes time. It enters the cell much more easily than, say, regular vitamin E like alpha-tocopherol. So for a maximal effect of vitamin E, it is essential to combine both alpha-tocopherol or alpha-tocopherol succinate. This is important issue that people often miss it.
It's interesting that when I had lung cancer 38 years ago, my doctor prescribed vitamin A 300,000 units for the first week, then 150,000 for the second week, and then I think the third week I went to like 50,000. But I was also taking, he said, vitamin E would help decrease the toxic effects of the vitamin A. And then I also took Laetril, which was the B17, and I took other B vitamins and a whole variety. But it was such a high dose of vitamin A.
Yeah. Well, you know, there has been a high dose of vitamin A, but I'm glad that, you know, that was very good. But, you know, you can't use it for a long time like you did it. For a short term, again, that is a therapeutic dose. In our situation, you know, when you use a multiple vitamin, then you don't have to use that high dose. You can use maybe 10 to 15,000 international units if you are using with the other multiple vitamins. A single vitamin, probably that was a good approach.
Well, it worked because that was 38 years ago.
No, again, there was a therapeutic dose. If you would have given just, you know, single agent and if you used a small dose, it would not have worked.
Yeah. Now, is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your book and your services? And
Another thing that there is some misconception is in the commercial market is that they always add iron and copper in their vitamin preparation. These are trace minerals, and any junk food or any kind of food you eat, you will have enough iron or copper in this country anyway. And so So the question is why they should not, in my opinion, they should not add iron and copper in a multiple vitamin preparation. And the reason is following. As you know, that vitamin C and iron interacts to produce free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Because even any laboratory in the world, if you go and wants to generate the pure free radicals for your in your system, in a test tube, you need iron and you use vitamin C. This mm-hmm. is the only way you can use it in a vitro system, a pure free radical.
Mm-hmm.
So question is, why you want to add in a multiple vitamin preparation iron, which is going to create this kind of problem? Same thing is with copper.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem is that in the presence of antioxidant, iron is absorbed much better than in the absence of antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is absorbed better, then gradually, if you are taking a long time, 1 week or 2 weeks does not make any difference. But if you are taking a vitamin for a long time, which we all take, then slowly the iron stored in the body will increase. Mm-hmm. And if you increase the free iron stored up in your body, it has been linked with almost all chronic diseases in humans, increase in the free iron store in the body.
Mm-hmm.
There is another disadvantage. Not only generate free radicals immediately when you are taking in the gut and might neutralize some of the effect of vitamin C,
mm-hmm.
but also in the long term, it can increase the iron store of your body and thereby increase the risk of chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm. So we're still learning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. This simple thing is known for so long, but nobody has paid attention to put in a right perspective like I did.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dr. Prasad, would you tell us about your book and any services or products you have and how the listeners can locate these?
Yes. The book I have written is called Fight Cancer with Vitamins and Antioxidants. That is the title of the book. It was published by Inner Traditions of Vermont and New York. The book can be bought at Amazon.com. And it's a very informative book in terms of understanding the biology of the antioxidant and cancer. And so that's one thing. And as far as the product is concerned, you know, I'm a chief scientific officer of the Premier Micronutrient Corporations. And you can go on the website, mypmcinsight.com, and look all the products that are available.
Mm-hmm.
But I am in charge of the R&D part here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a collaboration going on with the Department of Defense Laboratory on the diabetes, as well as on the nerve agents and the how to protect against exposure to nerve agent and mustard gas. So this kind of a study we are involved here.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. I appreciate this very much. It's been informative. And I know it will be helpful for the listeners that have a history of cancer in the family or are concerned about their preventing cancer or what they can do if they elect chemo and radiation, what they can do to help with some of the symptoms. So I appreciate this very much.
I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Denise Marie, the publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine, has outdone herself in the winter issue, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. For your pleasure, Denise Marie has brought together what reads like a who's who of Hollywood, Broadway, and Nashville stars, including Brad Pitt, Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, Dolly Parton, Matt Dillon, Jeremy Irons, and others. Each talk about their career and lives by way of written and audiovisual media. Brad Pitt, the amiable Hollywood heartthrob, actor, and philanthropist, graces the cover and is featured in an exclusive interview in which he talks about balancing marriage, a large family, and a new film. Hugh Jackman, highly acclaimed for his recent role in Les Miserables, for which he won a Golden Globe Award and has been nominated for an Academy Award, talks about that role and his family. Denise Marie says Hugh Jackman is a sincere person that truly loves his family over anything else. Anne Hathaway, who also won a Golden Globe Award for her role in Les Miserables, talks about her recent marriage, motherhood, and career. Her singing of I Dreamed a Dream in Les Miserables was surprising to me and also memorable. Matt Dillon in Promised Land, where big business descends on an economically deprived community with devastating results, present a story that is often repeated in America and needs to be highlighted. And Dolly Parton, one of my favorite actresses, songwriters, singers, and philanthropists, talks about her personal philosophy that resulted in a fantastic career from her book, Dream More. Beyond these stories of famous people are stories of social issues, such as genetically modified foods, global warming of the polar ice caps, childhood cancer, chemicals in your body, the harmful effects of farm-grown salmon, and others. For example, do you know the top cereals likely to contain genetically modified organisms? Or do you know how rapidly the ice caps are melting? You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Dr. Charles Major, who has devoted over 15 years studying health and healing to prevent and reverse diseases through natural methods. He is the co-author of two books, Maximize Living Makeover and Cruise Ship or Nursing Home. He graduated from the University of Illinois with a baccalaureate of science and went on to receive his doctoral degree from Palmer College of Chiropractic. In less than 10 years, he has opened 6 chiropractic clinics. He is a highly sought-after speaker, and Dr. Majors has given hundreds of live lecture events in the past 10 years. In September 2010, he was diagnosed with an incurable bone marrow cancer that metastasized to his brain with only weeks to live. He left conventional medicine and applied the same principles he had been teaching for years to reverse his own cancer and not only survive, but thrive. He lives in Plainfield, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, with his beautiful wife, Andrea, and their 4 children. More information is available at www.beacancerkiller.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Majors. And I look forward to hearing about how you, as a health professional, dealt with incurable bone marrow cancer. Now, first, why did you choose to go into a healing profession?
When I was in, I want to say, my senior year of high school, my grandmother had been diagnosed with cancer, and we had watched her. Literally, I was by the bedside when she'd stopped breathing in a nursing home, and I knew at that time, you know, there was in watching my mother, you know, what she was going through. I knew at that time I had to do something to stop this so that never happened to anyone else. And I began to pursue into what health really was and move into that field.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your healing background.
I first went to University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana and did almost 5-6 years there getting a Bachelor of Science. I learned first, went into psychology, learned about the mindset, went into social work, finished my degree, another degree in social work.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, my mother at the time had been under chiropractic care for about 15-20 years around that, give or take years. And at that time, you know, we had figured out she had never been to a doctor since she had delivered me. Mm. Her friends were at the time, you know, whether one or two were, you know, had gotten cancer already. Almost all of them were on a medication. And at that time, we couldn't figure out, I mean, like, what was she doing different? You know, her diet wasn't too much different. Her lifestyle wasn't too much different. The only thing she was doing different at that time was she would go every week to every other week and get adjusted. And her chiropractor never told her why. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that was the only thing that she was doing different than anyone else. And I started studying that while I was in college, saying, there's got to be something to this. And what we found out was that when I literally looked at the definition of health, the definition of health was when someone's healing. It was right in the word health. Health. The definition of health is heal. That's mm-hmm. how they come up with the word. And it's healing when you're healing and functioning at 100%. At that point, I started saying, well, what controls all healing and functioning? And obviously, it was the brain, the spinal cord, and nerves. And so at that time, I knew that, you know, giving someone drugs and doing surgery or doing any of that, and thank God we have those things in a crisis, but to get somebody and keep them healthy, I had to figure out what controls the body, how I need to deal in the spinal cord and nerve system, and that's when I began to study chiropractic, and I began going into the chiropractic and studying that.
Mm-hmm. That's great, because the chiropractic is good both as a preventive but also as a treatment for certain conditions. So I have gone, my sister goes regularly, she's 85, she goes regularly as a preventive thing, just to keep her in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing is, and there's different types of chiropractors. That's what people have to understand. There are chiropractors who deal in back pain and neck pain and headaches and all the rest. And then there's chiropractors like, oh, I'm a maximized living doctor, and we deal in not only chiropractic, we deal in the five essentials. But we actually, our job is to, regardless of what the symptom is or what the condition is, our job is to make sure that body is functioning closer to 100%. Of health and healing, to keep it healthy. So mm-hmm. we monitor them on a regular basis for the rest of their life to make sure they're healing. And our job is that God needs no help healing, no interference. We want to look at any of the five essentials we teach and to see are any of those interfering with this person's healing.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, Dr. Majors, could you tell us what bone marrow cancer is?
Well, obviously, there's many different types of cancer, and some start in different areas, some start in different organs, some start in the blood or the bone marrow. Mine began in the bone marrow, and obviously your bone marrow makes your blood. And so all of my blood, 37% of my bone marrow was making cancer on a regular basis, and that bone marrow cancer had gone and spread to the brain. Bone marrow cancer usually spreads and goes to your bones, goes all over the body. Mine had gone up and spread to the brain. I had four tumors in the brain by the time we even realized it. And that's the thing with all disease. You don't know you're sick until you're at the late stages. Usually, mm-hmm. You don't know you have cancer till you're stage three or stage four. You don't know you have a heart disease till you have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to the stage of actually having headaches every single day, finally did an MRIs to figure out what it was. I had four tumors in the brain, stage four. With literally weeks to live, I was 40 pounds down in a wheelchair.
Hmm. So what did you decide to do?
Well, at that time, I was in Northwestern Hospital because they originally thought my cancer was, or they thought it was just benign tumors in the brain. Mm-hmm. They went up and they did surgery. They thought they would just get rid of them, thinking they were benign. And when they went up there, they realized that it was all cancerous. And they were tugging at it and cutting at it. And when they did that, it was started to bleed all over the brain. The cancer was swelling. They said I probably wouldn't wake up in the morning. And thank God, I woke up in the morning. And at that time, they said that it wasn't benign. It was cancer in the brain. Worse than that, it was coming from somewhere in the body. And that's when they did all the tests. They figured out it was coming from the bone marrow. And they walked in the room and they said, there is nothing we can do. It's incurable. And they said, you can buy some time by doing a full-blown chemo, a bone marrow transplant, and maybe some radiation on the tumors in the brain, but mm-hmm. that's all we have for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut, poison, or burn at the time, and I was 40 pounds down in a wheelchair. I was actually in the ICU. Mm-hmm. That's how bad I was. And I knew at that moment that if I cut my arm right now, if I had a little cut on my arm, any cut, it would heal. Even in the state I was in, if I cut myself, it would heal. So if my body can heal this cut, it can heal this cancer. you know, 5-10 years ago, this wasn't going on. Something caused this. So I didn't want a cure, and I said that to them. I don't want the cure. I want to know what caused this. Something caused my body to move into this cancer state to be where it is. And it was my turn to say, no, I'm in charge. I'm in control. This isn't bad luck. It's not genetic. I don't care if my grandma had cancer and my other relatives had it. This is my fault. I'm sitting here because I created this. I caused this. And because of that, as soon as you have that mindset of anything in life, now I can take control of this. Because when I know it's my fault, I know that I can fix this and take care of this. And so at that time is we began studying and researching, and I realized I needed to get out of Northwestern. And that afternoon, I got in a plane and flew to Reno, Nevada, to Dr. Forsyth, who's one of the leading oncologists who obviously isn't using, you know, high dose chemotherapy and radiation and all that. He does more alternative. And I flew out to Reno and began my journey.
I can't speak highly enough of Dr. Forsyth. He also wrote a chapter in my recent book, and he's having fantastic success rates with stage 4-5 year survival. So
absolutely,
I'm interested in hearing what your treatment was.
Well, and, you know, number one, when I got there, and I love Dr. Forsyth's, you know, place, but there's for me, there's three main things that have to happen when you're going through cancer. And Dr. Lodi talks about this from Arizona as well, if you know Dr. Lodi.
Right.
And number one is you have to stop making the cancer first. You have to stop making it. And that is lifestyle. And that is the first thing I had to look at is what's causing this, what started making this. Because if I have to first stop making the cancer, people can live forever with a cancer tumor. I was living even with tumors in my brain. As long as they never got any bigger, I probably could have survived. Yes, I would have had headaches every day. So number one is once you stop making it and buy some time, you may be able to buy years as long as you stop making it. Once you stop making it, next will be to specifically and safely begin to kill that depending on what stage you're in. And so I would say Dr. Forsyth is amazing at safely and specifically killing that. Whether it's with IV vitamin C, IV H2O2, he was using IV poly-MVA. He uses a low-dose IPT chemo for some people who needed it at the time. So he has some amazing different ways that he targets it and kills it. And then number three is once we leave, whether we're killing it naturally or killing it even with chemo or radiation, is we now have to raise that immune system because remember that, I mean, how many patients, you know, they go into remission and then it regresses or comes back anyway. It's such a high percentage. Why? Because with chemo and radiation, you destroy the immune system, which is needed as cancer grows every day in our body and shows up, and now it's gone. So after we get done killing the cancer, whether it's chemo, radiation, or naturally, now we have to raise the immune system so it can handle anything that's happening. So number one, stop making it. That's what I had to do first. That was changing my lifestyle. That was looking at what I teach in my office, my clinic, is the five essentials. What my new book is all about is number one is mindset. Cancer has a specific mindset, whether it's a type of person who takes care of everyone else more than they take care of themselves. You know, they put people first all the time. Or the type of person who has a regressed or repressed feelings of something that could have happened when they were younger. In my case, my father left when I was younger, and I never let that go. You know, a lot of other things that went through. Number two is the nerve system, that the only way the body functions is through the nerves. The brain has to send a message through the spinal cord and nerve system. If there's even the slightest pressure on any one of those nerves to any one of those organs can never function as well. It doesn't matter what I'm eating, if my brain can't get to that organ and digest it and break it down and turn it into the rest of my organs, nothing matters. For my immune system work, it happens through the brain, spinal cord, nerve. So we measure the entire nerve system. So I knew, looking at even those two, where I was at. Number three is nutrition. You know, that there's a specific way of eating. Not every cancer patient is the same. You know, some cancer patients have an alkaline cancer, and some have an acidic cancer. Most of the time, we always think it's always acidic. It's not always acidic. Sometimes there's some alkalinity. Our body has to be in homeostasis, which is our pH has to be in perfect pH. Also, we look at sugar. We know that cancer eats and lives on sugar. You know, I don't care how much an oncologist will argue with somebody about their diet, like it doesn't matter, or that then ask them why they, when they do a PET scan, do they inject the person with sugar, dextrose, radioactive, and to find it, because cancer lives and eats on sugar. Otto Warburg, you know, studies, you know, winning all the prizes on, you know, cancer works on and feeds off fermentation, and regular cells use respiration, oxygen, you know. Cancer feeds off sugar. I see somebody says, what's the number one thing? Bad fats, through my research, is probably more, even worse than sugar a lot of times, especially in the cause of cancer, you know, the way the bad fats work, the trans fats. So we look at, I look at the diet. Number four is oxygenation. We know that cancer hates oxygen, loves sugar, that we need to bring oxygen back in the body. So I teach the specific oxygenation work and specific Max T3 working out that actually helps bring more oxygen to the body. I was a bodybuilder for years. Even though I was working out and looked fit, I was lifting heavy, never doing any type of oxygenation work in my body. And number five was toxicity, that we look at toxicity. And the key I teach is that if you can't eat it or drink it, you can't put it on your skin or inhale it or put it on your body. So I look at those five things. I was in the hospital saying, okay, where in those five am I off at? And then was it my mindset? Was it nutrition? Was it still my nerve system? I looked at all five of those first. And so, yes, as much as Dr. Forsythe did amazing at helping me buy time, I guess, and helped kill and minimize some of the cancer, I had to go in and figure out exactly what was causing this cancer in the first place.
And how long did you stay at Dr. Forsythe's?
I was there for 3 weeks. And then I was back home for about, I want to say almost 3 months, 4 months. Then I flew out to Spain with Dr. Raymond Helu, who's again one of the top doctors dealing with cancer. He actually studied under Johanna Budwig. He's one of the only doctors in the world who's allowed to teach her stuff.
Great, good. And how long do patients stay in your clinic when they come?
Now, for me, I'm a maximized living doctor. I'm a maximized living chiropractor. I don't deal with cancer per se. I don't do anything with curing cancer. I do nothing but assess. I clear out their nerve system, and majority of my patients are there for the lifetime. Now, if people fly in or come in from somewhere else, they may be with me for 2 weeks or a week, and just doing their assessment, seeing where they're at, how their nerve system is being affected, their diet, looking at that, and then they're sent back to another one of our maximized living doctors throughout the country or the world. We have offices in the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, and South Africa.
Is there anything else you would like to say, Dr. Major, about cancer or about your experience?
One of the main things is I do cancer care. I speak all over the country. I spoke on Saturday. And one thing I want everyone to always understand is that, number one, is there's always hope. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. I did a cancer consultation today with a woman, pancreatic, spreading her bones on hospice. And I first thing before we began any talking, I had to get her to understand is it's not over yet, you know, that if you still have a breath, that God still has a plan for you right now, that the reason why we're on the phone right now is so you can move yourself forward. And there's got to be hope there. Hope has to come first, you know. But also I want people to understand is that cancer is not an accident. It's not bad luck. It's not your genetics. You caused it. Cancer is nothing more than a survival mechanism. We know this now. My new book goes through this over and over with the research. Sayer, I wrote it with Sayer G, who's a cancer researcher and scientist, and I wrote it with Dr. Ben Lerner, New York Times bestseller. And this, so it's basic. Everything I'm telling you right now is science and research, that cancer is nothing more than a survival mechanism. That when you're depleting your body of what it needs, your normal cells have to have oxygen to survive. And if they're not getting enough oxygen, there's what we call an adaptive mechanism of the body. A normal cell has to have enough oxygen. It has to have the right nutrients. It has to have the right nerve supply. It has to have, you know, the right things. And if it doesn't get it, there's an adaptive mechanism where the cancer or the normal cell actually reverts to a cancer cell. We know this by Otto Warburg's work. He would actually in take a cancer cell, right? He would turn on the oxygen. It would convert back to a normal cell. And then he would start shutting off the oxygen. It would convert back to a cancer cell. And it would go back. He could go back and forth doing this. So we know that the cancer shows up because it's a survival mechanism. Because when you're living that lifestyle of not taking care of yourself, if the body couldn't convert to cancer, you would die immediately.
Right.
That it keeps us alive a little bit longer, so we have a chance to save and change our life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you realize that cancer is nothing more, we look at it and go, okay, cancer's there because my body's saying it's time to change. You know, I always explain, if you're walking by a plant in your house and all of a sudden you see the leaves are brown, what's mm-hmm. the first thing you would do?
Water it.
You would say, how much water does it need?
Right.
What does the soil need right now?
Right.
Is it toxic soil? Does it have enough light and sunlight? Is it not getting the air, the oxygen, whatever? You would ask, what does this plant need in order to survive? If I just cut off the leaves and not did anything else at all,
mm-hmm.
what would happen is that plant would continue to die.
Mm-hmm.
So why on a person don't we ask first, what is that person missing? What does that person need? What's interfering with this person? Not just cut it off. If I just spray painted those brown leaves green and then left the plant, you know, not getting enough water, not getting enough sunlight, it would die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always ask my patients, you know, when I have anybody coming with cancer, I say, so are the brown dead leaves causing the plant to die? Or is the dying plant causing the brown leaves?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they'll say every time that the dying plant is causing those leaves to brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So cancer will never, ever make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's your sickness that causes your cancer. It's the
mm-hmm.
sickness of the plant causing the brown leaves. It's the sickness of your body causing this cancer. There's nothing in a cancer cell, nothing about cancer that will kill anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Not until you get to the point where the cancer gets too big and blocks an organ, or then starts dying off or getting too much, and then it starts to release too much lactic acid and create the cachexic cycle. But in general, cancer isn't what you die from. And that's
mm-hmm.
powerful for people to understand that. You'll never die from the cancer. You die from what caused you to get the cancer, what made you sick in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Then would you tell us about your book, services, products, and how the listeners can locate these?
Oh, so yes, yes, I wrote it with Dr. Ben Lerner as well. And so we wrote the book, and we have a website. Our website, first of all, is beacancerkiller.com, beacancerkiller.com. You can also go on iTunes to get the book. It's on Amazon as well. But if you go to the website, you can order it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you text the word, any listeners, when they do this, if you text the words B1, B-E-O-N-E, to the number 96362, they receive the link to the website. They get a promo code. They get $5 also off,
mm-hmm.
off on the book.
Mm-hmm.
So all they have to do is text the word B-E-O-N-E, which is B1, to the number 96362. And that gives you a link to the website. You get a promo code. You'll be able to buy the book at a $5 discount as well, so you get $5 off of that.
Mm-hmm. And you have services and products?
Yeah, and that's if you go to, you know, like drcharlesmajors.com
mm-hmm.
or maximizeliving.com. That's our main website, Maximize Living. You can find doctors all over the country. Who a lot of them have done the makeovers, have done the work. You know, again, none of our doctors and me alone, none of us cure cancer or even say that we cure cancer. Our job is to get the body back to health again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So I thank you very much. It's been interesting, and I know will be helpful to the listeners. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows and where you can sign up to have these mailed to you for free or sign up for a free monthly newsletter. I also invite you to my new website, www.beatlungcancer.com. .net, where you will find information on my new book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer, Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, and you will find the interviews that I have completed on other radio programs. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.